Hey, what's going on? This is Matt and Tim from the Holy Ghost Notes.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, dude. It has been crazy.
It's a funny question to ask during Christmas because as much as we say, how are you doing? We don't really anticipate a lengthy response. And yet, how could there not be one at Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. It has been a whirlwind, that's for sure.
A whirlwind of tree roots.
I think you and I are competing for who's busier the last few weeks. But
yeah, that's not a competition I ever entered to be in. But I'll take
it. I will
it.
Gladly fold.
I'll take the victory on that
you
one.
You can take it. It's all yours.
I'm sure everyone that's listening to this can empathize with the fact that this is a busy time of year. And I don't know about you, Tim, but I remember being a kid and sitting there on Christmas morning thinking, oh my gosh, I can't wait to open these gifts. And my dad's sitting there and saying, nope, sorry, we're going to sit here. And he opens the Bible and I know exactly what's coming. And he's like, all right, enough of this chaos. Let's get down. Let's get back. Let's talk about what is this all about, really? Yeah. And I'm like, well, of course, I know what it's about. It's about opening gifts. And he's like, well, all right, this is about one man who came to do the most important thing that's ever been done for you. And yet the chaos that surrounds Christmas is just overwhelming and distracting. Yeah. I'm like, I don't really see it that way as a 12-year-old. Well, now as a 34-year-old, I can't imagine any other message being more appropriate because it's just nuts.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy. I mean, what kind of, so you're a dad, what kind of, have you thought about what you're going to talk about as a family once your son's old enough to understand like the importance of Christmas and yet how it seems to be everything but the real message?
Yeah. I haven't thought too much about it, to be honest, but,
I guess you have a couple years.
Yeah, I still have a couple years. If there's anything, though, that I want him to know is that it's not about all the craziness, you know? And I'd like for Christmas Day to be that calm, you know, collective moment.
Right.
And not just feeding into the craziness. You know, it's the presence piece is fun. You know, obviously, I'm not going to take that away from him. But yeah, it is important to remember what it's all about at the end of the day and take that time. My parents did the same thing, you know, is we usually would come and open stockings in the morning, and then between stockings and the gifts under the tree, we would have breakfast and you know, talk about the story and, you know, do the Advent calendar or whatever it was. And, you know, it was important, you know, it was important to kind of.
Yeah.
Just center yourself and remember what we're here for.
Yeah, I like that. So today I want to talk about. We've hit on this a lot, and we've talked about it a lot as it pertains to drumming. Mm-hmm. But it obviously is a much broader topic and idea than in the world of drumming. And it is what kind of person are you? Who are you really when the door is closed, when no one's watching, when no one's listening? Because it's in that moment that you are who you are.
Right.
You know, what is in your heart is actually coming out because there's no one around you to impress or entertain or host. And so this all stems from a video that I saw on SportsCenter Instagram.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. And being a sports fan, and I know you are as well, I love SportsCenter Instagram. A lot of their videos get, I don't know, 1 million or 2 million views. It depends on, you know, what it is. But this video I saw right off the bat, it was pretty new. I think it was 2 days old, and it had like over 3 million views. Wow. I'm like, wow, what is this? And so it was a repost of, I believe, Reggie Bush, who plays for the New Orleans Saints. And the screenshot was of the New Orleans Saints training facility. And so I push play and I'm watching this, and here it's Drew Brees far off in the distance, and he's by himself in this massive training facility. Lights are on. And the person holding the camera is Reggie Bush, and he's sort of narrating first person what you're looking at, what you're seeing. So anyway, if you are listening to this podcast and you're not driving and you want to pull it up, it's probably 100 videos ago because they post yeah. a lot. And so go back and find this. But it's him talking about, hey, listen, if you really want to be great, if you really want to be the best, if you want to be the best that you can be, look at this guy. And here's Drew Brees, who has been in the league forever. He just broke a record, the most passing touchdowns of all time. I mean, this guy's cemented in stone. He's one of the greats, you know. And certainly if there's someone that doesn't need to be on the field practicing after everyone's gone, it's him. And yet, there he is. Hmm. And he's like 100 yards away doing this practice routine, getting his mind right, playing the mental game, doing these pump fakes back and forth, and he has no idea that he's being filmed. And I think that's the reason that this video has so many views, because there's something about seeing someone in the most organic, authentic state of mind that is very attractive, because so much of what we do is a performance, mm-hmm. especially on social media, right? I mean, that's the qualm of social media. It's like, right. Yeah, everyone's smiling, everyone's happy, but really they're not. And so here's a video of Drew Brees. He has no idea he's being filmed, presumably, unless this is really good acting. But he's there, and he's just training all by himself. Lights are on. No one else is there except for Reggie Bush, who just stuck around long enough to see this happen. So there's no applause. There's no reward. There's just Drew Brees there training mm-hmm. after everyone's gone. And I watched this thing and I watched it again and again and again. And I wrote down one of the, so you know, on Instagram, how you can comment and the top comments are at the very top. So this one had like a couple thousand likes and it was a quote. And I had to look up this quote cause I didn't know where it came from. But the quote is, if you want to look good in front of thousands, you have to outwork thousands in front of nobody. Hmm. It's by Damian Lillard, a basketball player. And I thought about this, and I watched a video back, and there in front of Drew Brees is obviously, you know, the end zone, and then there's just this like huge printout of a couple stars on the Saints, and Drew Brees is like front and center, you know? So imagine just being in this facility and seeing your name and your number yeah. up on the side of the wall. And there he is. And I mean, he could come to practice and walk away and say, I'm good. You know, I've been right. doing this forever, yeah. but he's there when no one else is there, he's still practicing. And so, for me, I mean, being a drummer and always trying to improve my craft, this is obviously inspirational for me. And it really hits home, because when I was starting to play drums, and if you're listening to this and you're really trying to make progress in your drumming or in your passion or hobby or craft or trade, then you know better than anyone that the time in which you cut your teeth or you really develop your skills are the moments when no one's watching, when you're pouring sweat and you're putting in time and no one really sees that. You're investing into something seemingly without any reward, right. at least instant reward. And so where does that take you in a biblical sense? Well, of course, Matthew 6 is where my mind went, which says this, Matthew 6:1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Man, how convicting.
Right, yeah.
How many times in the last week have you done that? I mean, it's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking anyone to answer it, but I'll just go ahead and say, when I'm at the end of my day, I'm pooped. Mm-hmm. I lay down, hit the pillow, and I'm out. And I set the alarm on my phone. I turn on, you know, do not disturb, and I'm out. Mm-hmm. And I think about this verse, and if it's true, and of course it's true, that when you pray, you go into your room, you close the door, and you pray to your Father who is unseen. There's Drew Brees on the field. There's no one else in the room. There's no one else in the stadium. And he's putting in the time because he knows, even though there's no one there to clap when he does this sick pump fake and throws this imaginary touchdown, that he knows he's investing into something so much greater than just the moment.
Yeah.
It's this investment, and he believes in it because he knows the return on his investment is of value.
Yep.
And that's football. Yeah, right. I mean, come on, that's football. Yeah. We're talking about our faith in God Almighty, mm-hmm. and the one who loves us and saves us every single day, picks us up, never leaves us, never forsakes us. Right. And yet, too often, we go to church on Sunday, or we're in our Bible studies, or we're around others having a theological discussion, and that's the last time that God's on our lips until the next time we're surrounded by people talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Where's the relationship in that? And so I'm talking to myself here, because a relationship is one in which there's a conversation happening because you want to hear what the other person has to say. You love the other person. Mm-hmm. You want to invest in that relationship. Right. It's not about the reward. It's not about the applause. It's not about the instant gratification. And there's something so convicting about this idea. And so Matthew 6 starts by talking about, you know, practicing your righteousness. And it goes on to talking about your generosity, whether that's financial or your time. And then it goes on to talk about your relationship, which is through prayer. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to take a serious look at this in our own lives and say, how are we practicing like Drew Brees? We've been a Christian for 20 years. Drew Brees has been a quarterback for decades. Are we still willing to stand in that stadium when everyone else has left and spend time with the thing that we love, with the one that we love?
Yeah.
Not because it gives us anything, but because we love it.
Right, yeah.
That's the reward. That's the heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we would be so much more edified and filled up and satisfied, and have so much more clarity in our lives, especially in this busy mm-hmm. time of year that we continually talk about. When we say, oh my gosh, we're so busy, we have no time for anything, and yet 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, spending time with the one who cares about us and knows our needs,
yep.
our deepest needs, is by far the most valuable time spent in our day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love where you went with this, because this is so important, and arguably more important. So, like, the way that this culture in this country, and I think especially, like, where we live, the tri-state area, or, like, you know, like northern or northeastern USA, right. It's just nonstop. You always have to be doing something. If your job doesn't take up all 20 hours of your awake time, you have to get another job. Like, you know, it's for some reason, that's how it is. If you're not doing something, you're lazy, you know? And, so it's just constant. You have to fill up your time, and you can't give yourself time to sit and relax, or you can't give yourself time to sit and pray, or you can't be by yourself at all. Like, God forbid you have a few moments to yourself. You know, it's that's just like the culture for whatever reason, and I don't understand it. But I think I love where you went with this, because it actually applies not just to your faith but also to drumming, in that, like, you're not going to excel if you don't put the time in. You know, you're not going to excel just, I mean, playing shows with your band, sure, you know, performing a lot, you'll get better. But really where you're cutting your teeth is when you're sitting there trying to figure out the thing that you can't play.
That's right.
Know? When you're putting the time in there. But from the faith side, you know, the going to church on a Sunday morning and, you know, being involved in your church or serving, you know, that's all important and it's all good. But what's really most important is your time with God, you know, your time in secret where you're worshiping him by yourself and where you're praying and getting to know him and letting him fill you up. You know, it's, I would go as far to say that's more important than anything else, you know,
of course.
Mean, and the fact that it does get pushed kind of to the bottom of the priority list is absurd. Like, and I personally can say that I've gotten the most out of those times from my faith. It's, you know, it's definitely when I've just been like in the quiet, just listening to God, whatever that means, you know, like just in prayer or, just playing silly songs on my guitar. Like, you know, that's those moments are the moments that have been the most impactful to me and have really sharpened me, you know, reading scripture and learning and just receiving revelation. Like, those have been the biggest moments in my life. So I don't know why there isn't more stress put on this. You know, I mean, Drew Brees is a prime example. I mean, or any athlete at that level knows they have to put the time in when nobody's watching, you know? And the second that they stop doing that, they start to slip and other people overtake them. They know it's competitive, you know? And
that's true. I mean, what is filling your time? Maybe that's the point here.
Right. Yeah.
You know, what are you choosing to do instead of spending that time? So I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm in a support group, and there is a gentleman, there are probably 10 of us guys and maybe, I don't know, 10 women or so. Anyway, there's a guy that sits at my table, and he's probably mid 40s, I would say. He served in the military, and I think he's still active duty. This dude's tough. This dude is tough. And he doesn't talk a whole lot. Well, a couple weeks ago, he was talking about how he gets a lot out of this other support group. So he goes to this support group, and then he goes to an additional one the following night. Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, that's really cool." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, it's pretty good." He said, "It's called Celebrate Recovery," and Celebrate Recovery is a program, as far as I know, that is offered for. There are several different programs inside of this, you know, underneath of Celebrate Recovery. So anyway, he's in this program and. For one specific thing, and he's been getting a lot out of it. He's saying, "Yeah, I just, you know, I've been going here for a little while, and it's really good." And there was this other program that was recommended called Men's Fraternity. I started going to that too, and man, that's really good. There was a guy there that was teaching, and his name's Keith, and I won't say his last name just because the purpose of the story is just to be anonymous, and you'll see why in a second. So he says, "This guy Keith, he's a really cool guy. He's really stuck with me." And he said, "I was deployed for 9 months, and I was really struggling. I was struggling, and Keith knew it. And Keith wrote me every single week. He wrote me every single week that I was gone. And there's a lot of other people in this class, and I could only imagine that he was writing everyone else too. And I said, well, I said, did he keep up with you for the entire time that you were gone? He said, yeah. He said he wrote me every single week and just to kind of check up on me. And I thought that was pretty amazing. And I got back and I was talking to someone else in the group about this. And they said, wow. I said, what do you think about him losing his son? And he said, what? He said, yeah, Keith's son passed away like 6 months ago. And this guy's like, his son passed away? He never mentioned anything about that. He said, his son passed away. It was pretty tragic and it was pretty hard on him. And I'm surprised he never said anything. And he's like, he's never mentioned anything to me. He was just asking how I'm doing and, you know, how he can be praying for me and supporting me. And so he went into Keith's office, a couple weeks later and he's like, Keith, he's like, I realized I've never asked you how you're doing. And Keith's like, well, you know, what do you mean? Where is this coming from? He's like, well, I found out that, you know, you lost your son and you're always, you know, looking out for me. And, Keith's like, yeah, I know it's tough, but I really care about you and I love you and I want to support you. And, you know, I love this group. I love this group of people. And, and he walked out of that, you know, that conversation just, he was, I guess the word is he melted. I mean, he's this tough guy and he just sort of like turned into, he realized he was turning into somebody else. He realized that he was experiencing transformation because of someone else's love, selfless love and empathy.
Yeah.
Even at the expense of their own grief and time, you know, spent away from their own problems.
Yeah, wow.
And I said, well, this guy, Keith, I said, does anybody else know that he wrote you for those 9 months? And he said, no. I said, so no one else knew that he did that. He said, no, he said, I don't think he told anyone. And I didn't really tell anyone until I got back. And I said, can you imagine someone that does that for you? And yet, you know, he's doing that for everybody else. And at the same time, he's going through hell, you know, in his own life. And I walked away from that meeting and so the first part of it, this guy Keith is doing all this in secret.
Right.
No one knows that he's spending time writing these emails or these letters, taking care of this guy and probably countless others. And at the same time, not many people know what he's going through. And so this is all undercover. And so this guy and this support group is at a very large church that a lot of people, myself included, have talked poorly about. Because it's a very large church.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money there. And there are a lot of people there. And people oftentimes suck.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter if you're a believer in God or not. Doesn't matter who you are or what you believe in. It's just people are sinful and people do dumb stuff and say stupid stuff. And they just the way it goes. Yeah. So I had been involved in this church for a while and I had talked poorly about this church and I knew what church he was talking about. I knew exactly what church because I knew who Keith was and I really liked Keith. And so I asked this guy, this rough guy who's in these two support groups, who was deployed, who was being incredibly impacted by this guy, Keith, and was going through this transformation because of this personal relationship in secret, hidden from public view, no reward. And I said, what's the name of the church? And he's like, I'm not sure. I'm like, wait. What's the name of the church? You know, you're there two times. He's like, I can't, for some reason, I can't remember right now. And I said, are you serious? you go to this place and it does not matter what the name of the church is. It does not matter to you because they are not pushing their church. They're not pushing their agenda.
Right.
They're opening their two front swinging doors to these rough dudes and saying, come on in, we're going to help you. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Keith, is making that kind of an impact. You don't know the name of that church. He said, no, I can't remember. I know the name of that church. Never again, never again will I talk poorly about that church. And if anyone else does, I'm going to tell them to stop. because look, I mean, what you do in secret has the biggest impact of all.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't want to go to church. For all that guy's concern, he's not going to church.
Right.
He's going to some building. And he is being ministered to in a way that I think somebody else would have ministered to him. And I think someone else would have counseled him in the same way. I mean, it just makes you think about all of the stories that aren't written down in the Bible. Because if Jesus is telling us to act this way, how could he not?
Right.
And if he's saying to do things in secret, you know, as well as me, for every story we, you know, for every miracle that we know about, there's 100 more that we don't.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it just made such a powerful impact on me. What are your motivations in reaching out and helping out and ministering and counseling and giving and helping? And I mean, it's very convicting on one hand, and on the other hand, it's incredibly encouraging because, you know, there are a lot of Keiths out there, and I want to be like that. I want to be the kind of person that is helping so many people in such an undercover way that the only way you would ever find out about it is if you were in a support group with that person, and 6 months into the support group, the guy opens his mouth and talks about it.
Right.
There's no way. There's no way I would have known about it otherwise. And I know Keith. I it's not like I don't know the guy. Mm. So can we be that kind of person? Absolutely. What do we need to do? I think we need to spend time building the kind of relationship with Jesus that makes us into that kind of person, where we can't look around at the world around us and say, I can ignore that. I can walk past that guy and not, you know, lend him a hand or a shoulder.
Yeah.
Keith is the kind of person who, you know, has spent an unbelievable amount of time building his relationship with Jesus in such a way that it's transformed him, and it can't not transform everyone else that he encounters.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's an incredible story.
Jeez. Yeah, it'll stick with me forever.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's very convicting. And I Tim, I mean, you and I are hard on the church, and we're tough on Christianity, mm-hmm. because we love Jesus. And I think we need to continue to have that sort of perspective, because there's a lot of trash out there.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, there is a lot happening that we don't see as Christians, and we need to be very careful not to throw it all away just because there's some stuff we don't like.
You're exactly right. Yeah. We have to remember that Christ loved the church, and so should we. Yeah,
I don't really want to love the church, but I
rarely
trust what
feel
he
like
says.
Loving it. But if I want to be Christ-like, you know, that's exactly what we have to do. And we do have to remember that there are a ton of Keiths out there. And sometimes I catch myself, you know, when I do start to talk badly about a church or the church, and I start remembering all of the wonderful people that represent the church. There's always going to be people that taint it, but we can't forget the ones that really live a life that is reflective of Christ. And there are a lot of them out there. So it's inspiring. I hope that I'm somebody that gives a good name to the church.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, that's all we can do.
Gives a good name to Christ. Yeah, exactly. It's And it's not something we always will do. And it's, you know, something that we need help with. And that's exactly what this podcast is about.
Right.
Imperfect people talking about
we should get,
how to be the best we can.
We should get Keith on the program shed a little light, huh?
Yeah, seriously. Hopefully he has a book of tips somewhere that I could read. I am not Keith most days, that's for sure. that's really good, man. While you were talking, I was just thinking about something too, and you know, like the Bible, the Gospels, you know, paint a picture of how Jesus lived and what he did and things he said. And how many things do you think weren't even documented? Like, I don't know why I've never thought about this before, but I was just thinking, like, man, he probably had hundreds, thousands of conversations with people that were probably profound. Things he said, you know, instruction that he gave, or even just like wisdom that he shared, that's just not documented in the Bible. You know, like that, like when we get to heaven, I have a whole list of questions, of course, but that is going to be one of them. Like, can I see like the between the scenes? Like, I want to see what happened in between this. What conversation did he have with Peter while they were walking this 1,000 miles or whatever? You know, like what was going on here? You know, there's a lot of gaps. I kind of want them filled.
Yeah, it's like, why did you include all of that stuff when it doesn't seem like it matters? I don't care whose grandfather was whose grandson and who's, right. You know, it's...
Yeah, I want to know, like, the chit chat in between, like, what were they talking about? Were they skipping rocks on the Jordan River? You know, like, what were they doing? But it's just, a thought that I had. Not important at all. But that's crazy. I mean, and that's really we need to aspire to be Keiths. That's for sure.
So here's something I've been doing, and then I'd like to hear what you've been doing, and then maybe in this next week, you know, leading up to Christmas, we can hear what others have been doing, because I'm sure there's a lot of good insight out there. But something I've been doing that's extremely simple is putting my Bible and my church, like our church has these little bulletins, like one page sermon notes, and you just sort of fill in the blanks, and then they gave us a binder and you put all the notes in that binder, so they're neatly organized. I put the Bible in the binder next to my Lazy Boy recliner in my living room on the desk or on the end table.
Nice.
You know, I just have it sitting there, and so when I sit down, for some reason I always it's right next to me, and it's just, you know, I'm a creature of habit. I just look left and boom, there it is. And so it's almost like when you set a reminder on your phone to do something, you can't avoid it or miss it or ignore it. That's the way this is. It's right there. So there are days when I choose to ignore it and I just sort of hit snooze on it. And then there are other days it's like, well, there it is and I'm here and I have 10 minutes. Put the priority in your life in such an obvious place that it's difficult to ignore.
Yeah.
It's like those alarm clocks that you hear about that actually... when they go off, it's like somehow it has the ability to sort of take off, and you have to like get up and get out of bed in order to pull a string to shut the thing off so that you actually wake up and can't, you know, sleep through your alarm.
Don't give yourself the option. Don't give yourself an out.
Don't give yourself the option. So do sort of dummy proof this.
Yeah.
And for me, that works. If it doesn't work for me, when I go to bed, because I just fall asleep. So if I'm at the end of my day and I'm relaxing and I'm watching football and it's right next to me, that seems to be the most helpful. For a while, I was doing it first thing in the morning. I'd drink my coffee and I would sit there for 5 minutes. And honestly, that was the best way to start my day. And my day always felt like it was just a better day, I think, in part because that was how I started it. It's like you hear about how there's that famous quote or idea about how if your family is intact, then when you leave the house, all hell can break loose and you know it's going to be okay. Yeah. Whereas if your family is broken and your home is falling apart, you can go out into the world and everything works out perfectly and you get a bonus and a raise and a new car and you know, someone lets you skip the line and you come home and everything's still pretty broken. So it's like what starts in your home sets you up for success out in the world.
Yep, for sure.
So start your day off on that sort of footing. Yeah. And of course that's biblical. You know, what sort of foundation do you have? And of course that's done in private, you know. Yep. That goes back to this idea of there's no one there. It's just you.
Right.
And so your motivation has to be because you love this person that you're spending time with. You want to build this relationship because it just so happens to be valuable to you, more valuable than sleeping another 15 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it seems difficult for you or you seem skeptical, just try it.
Yeah.
And if in the end, a week later, you say, man, I'd so much rather have that 15 minutes of sleep, then let me know, because I haven't really ever talked to anyone who has that mentality. It's usually just the difficulty of hopping into that structure, that mentality or schedule, that's mm-hmm. difficult. Once you're in it, it's so valuable that you say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I haven't been doing this for a decade.
Right. Yeah. What I do is, and I probably said this before as well, but I have the Bible app on my phone mm-hmm. because I take my phone everywhere I go, which I need to stop doing, but I enabled push notifications on it, and for a while okay. there, this Bible app, if I started a reading plan, it would notify me every day. I get a pop okay. notification saying, "Hey, like your reading plan's ready." I don't know if it's the recent update or if I've just like if I was missing it, but it now doesn't just tell me that, like, you know, read your verse for the day or whatever. It actually pops up the entire verse. So I have no choice but to see this yeah. Bible verse sitting on my screen. It rings, it, you know, bell goes right. off, the screen lights up, the verse is sitting there. I don't have a choice but to read it because it's right there. And so that is really good for me. And honestly, if I don't feel like reading it, I can touch it and it'll read it to me. Like, there's like
incredible.
Literally, it's like an audiobook form.
That's
so
incredible.
I have no excuses at all not to be in the Word every day. But I will just say again how important it is. And I'm like one of the worst people at this, but like getting in the habit of scheduling time for yourself in quiet, in the secret place, like, it is so crucial, and you will benefit from it, you know. And like Matt said, like, if that means waking up 15 minutes early or, before you wind down or while you're winding down, like, you know, just make it a point to sit there and just reflect on the day and get in the Word and, like, whatever it takes, you will benefit from it. You know, it's huge.
So listen, I mean, you're having difficulty in your marriage, sit alone with your Bible and spend time with God. You're having difficulty in the workplace, sit down alone with God and read your Bible. You're having a really good week, sit down alone with God and read your Bible. I mean, what mm-hmm. situation is there in which this is not the answer? And I wish I could go back and tell myself this 5 years ago, because for some reason, when things are going really bad, my tendency is to do anything but sit and relax and breathe mm-hmm. and deepen my relationship with God. And yet when things are going really good, my tendency is to do anything but sit
right.
and
exactly.
it's like, it's ridiculous. But
yeah.
if there are stress points or fault lines in your relationships, in your marriage, in being a dad and being a son or daughter, in the workplace, if you want to be a leader and if you want to build something truly great that can prove the fact that you're working towards something bigger than just yourself. I mean, I remember being a kid and my mom saying, "Hey Matt, your dad's leaving this weekend." I said, "Where's he going?" She said, he's going to a conference, called, Men of Integrity, I think it was called. And I'm like, "Dad doesn't need to go to that. He's already one of those people." And my mom kind of laughed, and I saw my family sort of fall, like I saw my siblings and even my mom sort of fall in line with this idea of like humbly coming before God and saying, "We need you." And really the example of that was my dad. And if you want to be the kind of example that says it's not about you and you don't have all the answers and you are humble enough to say all of that and look to someone else, whether you believe in God or not, maybe you're going to counseling or to you're going to a support group like I am, or you're just coming under someone else's leadership and guidance. It says a lot about your character.
It does.
It says a lot about what you're willing to do for yourself and also for those around you. And it's a real leadership quality or characteristic. And it's one that I think everybody really desires deep down. It's hard to get into that mindset because you have to turn your hands upside down in this act of surrender and say, I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing here. And as soon as that happens, there's this change in your heart that is obvious to everyone around you, where they say, "Man, that's someone I can really get behind," because they're willing to get on their knees and say, "I want to do better. I want to know the answer. I don't have that answer, but I'm looking, I think, in the best place I know, and I'm going to wake up a little bit earlier or go to bed a little later if means I find it."
Yeah. That's it. Or even like, I'll call some of you out. I know a lot of you listen to this on your drive. I'm someone that loves having podcasts on or music on when I'm driving. Turn it off for a few minutes, you know, just be silent or,
yeah, I love that.
Or like listen or talk, whatever.
Right.
Talk it out, you know, whatever you need to do. I don't have as much time in the car as I used to, but I mean, man, that's a great opportunity. You're forced to sit still for who knows how long, you know. And take that time instead of filling it with music. It doesn't mean you don't have to turn the radio on or whatever at some point, but just take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I guarantee it'll probably end up being the whole car ride if you start off that way. But just take the time. It's so
That's
vital.
Actually what my friend does. I have a friend who told me he's been doing that. He's been driving in his work van. He has 5 kids, very busy guy. He's my age. And, life's probably pretty crazy for him right now. And so he gets in his work van and he's driving to work. And he told me he just like shuts off the radio, like you were saying. And that's when he does his praying. And I've actually seen a change in him.
Wow.
Like I've seen this. He's the kind of friend everyone would want to have, because he would do anything for you, and he's just a great dude, and he's always been that way. But there's been a change since he's talked about doing this, and I think he's been pretty consistent in it. So
that's great.
Whatever it is, if you're listening to this, there are a lot of options. I'd actually love to hear what some of the tactics that you guys are utilizing and have been helpful, or some of the struggles or questions or, you know, concerns about any of this stuff. But it's important, man. This it feels like this has never been more important with how much our faces are in our phones and how much we've made society about, like you were saying, you work 20 hours a week. Oh, that's not enough. You should work another 20. It's it feels like it's never been more important than now. And if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling lost or down or just in need, then what you're doing might not be working.
Yeah.
And why not give this a shot?
Yeah.
And January 1st is rolling around. I mean, time is something we've created that's helpful for us, but it's kind of neat. You know, a new year brings some new ideas and motivations. It might be a good time to start looking into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Start here. It's the best place to start.
I think so too.
So,
Drew Brees, that's, baby.
That's right. That's right. Super Bowl 2020.
Yeah. If the Eagles go down, that's who I'm rooting for.
Yeah, we've got a big game coming up this weekend, man.
Oh boy.
we're facing off.
Oh, Tim.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think either of us deserve to go in the playoffs, to be honest.
I was about to say, it doesn't matter who wins first playoff game, yeah. 63-3 is going to be the score.
it's terrible. It's so
and
bad.
The 3 points are pity points. They're like, just let them have it, you know?
Yeah, yep, that's right. Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But let's... let's go through some flash questions before we wrap up here.
Sounds good.
So our first question for today is from Chelsea Leaker, at Chelsea Leaker. I hope I
said Chelsea.
I think I pronounced it right. And she asks, what's a song you've been listening to a lot lately?
It's a great question.
It's a great question.
Tim?
Well, I've been listening to this band Shade, spelled S-H-A-E-D. The song that most people know is probably Trampoline. It's been getting played a lot. I think it started on like an Apple commercial at one point and kind of blew up from there. But man, the whole album, is just incredible. But this song specifically is
Shade. I've never heard of them.
Yeah. It's a 3-piece band. They're, twin brothers, and then one of them's married to the lead singer. And it's, the three of them, really talented, really good, amazing songwriters. And, the album is fantastic. Definitely check it out. Trampoline specifically, you'll probably recognize, most of you, I believe, would recognize it. But, yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Can't stop listening.
I have been listening to Christmas music. Beyond that, Hillsong Worship, Every Breath, and I believe it's Hillsong United, Highlands. Good Grace.
Nice. Good stuff. I haven't actually listened to the new Hillsong United. I'm going to have to check that out.
It's funny. The Hillsong worship drummer, Harrison, came out to see us in Sydney. We went out afterwards. He's like, or actually it was a graphic design guy, Adam. He was saying, hey, listen, you got to listen to the new United and Hillsong worship records. It's the first time I've been able to listen to these albums from start to finish and like every song. So I got them both on Spotify, came home. I was working on Firewood for like 3 or 4 days and I did not like either of them at all. Actually, I'm like, these are
really
terrible. And I just stuck with it. I actually kind of like that song. And then I keep playing that song. And then of course the next song comes on. I kind of like this song too. Now I could not agree more with Adam. It's like, oh yeah, every song's awesome.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I'll have to give it a shot. Yeah. You know, I'll be honest. Like worship music is sometimes really tough for me to listen to.
You and a lot of other people.
I don't like it. There's some great, great songs that have brought me to tears, brought me to my knees. But in most cases, man, I can't stand it. Even like when I was on a worship team, the worship leader would pick out a song, and I'd be like, really? This one? Like,
right.
Can we play something else? Like,
can we play some Muse or something?
Yeah, exactly. Coldplay? Yeah, can we pick something like... musically good, like, but
that's funny.
It's all good. I have to give it a shot.
You won't like it. It's all right.
Next question is from at Hearty Breakfast, spelled H-A-R-T-Y, Hearty Breakfast, and this question is for you, Matt. He's asking, how does the extended footboard compare to the standard footboard?
The XF 9000 is pretty sweet. It gives you. Well, for me, My foot technique's changed, and I'll just give you a quick story. I was in Europe, and there is a gentleman in Germany who comes out and intimidates the crap out of me every time he comes out because he's a very good drummer. He stands side stage, and he critiques everything I do. And he's like, your technique is excellent from the waist up. He's like, your foot technique is terrible. And if there's anything you know about at least people in Germany are very upfront. Mm. And so I just got so used to hearing it. I was just like, well, I suck. Okay, got it. Well, this last time I was there, since I've been practicing sort of differently with the back of my foot down lower and my whole leg is more relaxed. When I'm playing slower stuff, it's more hip flexor. When I'm playing fast stuff, it's more ankle. Mm-hmm. I'm playing a little bit further back on the pedal, which the XF allows you to do. After the show, he comes up to me. He's like, dude, what happened? I'm like, oh gosh, here he goes again. And he's like, you look pretty good. I'm like, well, just so you know, you were the one that told me I sucked and I better get better. And so that was sort of my, I guess we'll call it motivation. But then yeah. I've sort of been working on it ever since. And he's like, wow, so I made you better. I'm like, no, nah, okay. Yeah, sure. I guess so.
Yeah. Go ahead, take credit.
So funny. if you want to impress... If you want to impress the critic in your life, get the DW9000 XF.
There you go.
That's the best way I'll say it.
Nice. Next question is from Kevin Cornwall, who emailed us. And he asks, both of you have turned your hobby and passion, drumming, into a career. Has monetizing something that was once just a hobby ruined playing music at all for you? Is it a delicate balance, or no matter what, do you two always get fired up to play drums?
It's definitely a delicate balance. I mean, like, I don't know. I was having this conversation the other day with a farmer. There's a big farm in Mannheim called Kreider Farms, and I love farming, but I realize that it's just something I do at night, and I have a day job, and I probably wouldn't like it as much if I did it all the time. And I was talking to this guy, and he's the crop manager, and he's sort of like talking through his teeth as he's talking about next year, and I'm like all excited about seed varieties and soil health, and he's just like, yeah, here's my number if you need anything, you know. And I'm like, oh man, like, I guess that's what happens, you know.
Yeah,
if it becomes your job. For me and Tim, we're in similar situations, but not so much as far as the frequency. I love drumming more than I ever have, but it has been It's ebbed and flowed. There have been times in my career with ABR where I'm like, I'm done. Hmm. I'm burnt out. And if my thought is, if you stick with something long enough, you'll find yourself in a season like that. But if you found yourself in a season like that, then it's more than likely that you'll find your way out of it. Yeah. And so come to expect that you will get burnt out, because it's just natural for you to fall in and out of love with something that you spend a lot of time with. I mean,
right.
Love is an emotion. There has to be a commitment that is stronger than that emotion. And so with drumming, it does come and go, but it's just a matter of being consistent and not always basing your passion on a feeling, but more so on this overarching idea of like, I want to do this for the rest of my life because this is what has given me fulfillment and joy and satisfaction for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I could have said it better. You know, Matt's mentioned a number of times that he's always surprised when someone doesn't have that thing. Like, what's your thing? You know? And it's the same thing for me. Like, I've always had, like, music has always been my thing. Like, mm-hmm. I can't think of my life without it, you know? And, so like Matt said, I mean, there's always going to be times where it gets frustrating and it's challenging, and it, same with like struggling with a part to learn or struggling with trying to get something down or something right on the kit. You know, sometimes it is going to be frustrating and you kind of have to push through that. I've never been quite as successful as Matt in my drumming. But yeah, I mean, when it was at a professional level and I was playing every day and, you know, I had commitments, you know, I definitely, there were moments where I was like, well, this isn't as much fun as it
right.
was, but,
right.
I think if you're doing it for yourself, I think you have to, you know, you have to remember that it's, if you're doing it for yourself because you love it and you make everything your own, I think it's, it gets pretty tough.
I like that.
To ruin it, you know, it just, it always has to be for you.
I like that. That's good.
So, and then I guess a natural next question is from at Seth Miller underscore 1597. And he asked if we ever almost quit drums for any reason. I definitely have never, I don't even know if I ever even thought of quitting drums.
Definitely not. That's an interesting question. I've never been asked that. I've never been asked it, I've never thought about it.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, never even thought about quitting.
It's drums. Like, have you ever quit eating? That would really suck.
Yeah, right. I have thought about like maybe I'm not cut out for this. Mm-hmm. I've had that thought before. Like maybe I'm not good enough to do this for real. But that never would have made me quit. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, when I hear like incredible drummers that are just so far beyond me, and in some cases much younger than me,
right?
Sometimes it's discouraging, and sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I should just, you know, put the sticks down and, I'm never serious about it. Like, it's never like I'm actually going to quit. Like, I'm never going to just like, all right, this kit's going up on Craigslist. Like, you know, I've never gotten to that point before. So yeah. All right. Last question. This is from at Ben underscore J Drums. And he asks, what motivates people to be a Christian? Fear of God or fear of hell?
It's a good question.
I'm going to say, I think that if you're motivated by fear, you're going about it the wrong way.
Right.
Fear
I would
of
agree.
God and or fear of hell. Mm-hmm. I've said multiple times that I disagree with the fire and brimstone message. I am not about it. I don't think persuading someone to be a Christian is ever the way to go.
Yep.
It all has to be about God's love, because that's where the transformation really comes from. You know, you could, the fear of God and the fear of hell idea really just adds to a works mentality, trying to get it right and trying to live a perfect life on your own. If God isn't personable and loving and someone that forgives, we can't forget that he's a just God, but he is a forgiving God and a loving God. And if we don't keep that in mind, I think it could really ruin our doctrine. It's got to be about his love and about Christ's sacrifice.
100%. Have you, we talked about this many, many episodes ago. There's a famous story about a lady who came home from work, and on her counter was a note that said, hey, that parking ticket that you got, I paid it, and it was anonymous. And her response would be something like, oh my gosh, that was really nice of that person. Then next week she comes home and there's a note that says, hey, you know that debt that you had that seems so insurmountable, you could never ever pay it. And by the way, the feds were coming and they were going to throw you in prison for the rest of your life. I paid it.
Yeah.
And her reaction to it couldn't have been, oh my gosh, that was really nice. It was, I have to figure out who this was, because whoever did this, I need to know them. I need to have a relationship with them, and I'll do anything forever and ever as an act of repayment, even though I could never repay them.
Right.
And what better idea, as you just said, if you're motivated by fear, I don't think you'll ever experience the depth of who God is and how much he loves you, because like you said, you're going about it the wrong way, and perhaps you could find yourself there eventually. But what a better way to go about it, if you do believe that God sent his son to pay a price that you could never pay back. And yet your response to that is not one that's rooted in fear of I have to or I must. If I do not, then I'm going to. Mm-hmm. No, it's oh my gosh, that was I can't even put into words what a thank you would even sound like. I have to know this person. I have to follow this person. I there's nothing more that I want. And right. So when I think about a relationship with Jesus, I think about one where there's, as we've talked about a thousand times, this awe and wonder, mm-hmm. where you say, whoever it is that's done this for me, there's nothing more in the world that I want than to know them and to follow them. I could never repay them, but I'll give my life. That's the most that I can give, and I'm happy to give it.
That's right. Yeah. Great question.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's great. Yeah. So, yeah. Good stuff, man. Cool. I hope that this has been encouraging and maybe convicting and helpful in a few areas of your life in this busy, busy time. And as we are just coming off the Caleb Kilmer episode, which was a lot of fun, and we're gearing up for Christmas. We're excited to release the Christmas episode, and then we have some cool stuff coming in early January.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of fun stuff ahead, and we will be releasing an episode on Christmas, so not sure how many people will actually listen to it, but I won't listen to it, but
yeah.
we will be releasing an episode on the 25th, and maybe if some of you have a drive to family, maybe that's an opportune time to throw it on. But
no, I like that.
Otherwise, you guys can catch up in the weeks coming. Yeah. You'll have a couple weeks in between. So, cool. Well, thank you all for listening. I say it every time, but you guys really are the best. I benefit personally from the conversations that we have on social media and from the comments and questions and everything. It's so encouraging. And anytime that I ever wonder why I'm doing this,
which is every 4.5 seconds,
you guys make it worth it and provide the answer for me when I most need it. So thank you guys. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would help us out a lot if you could give us a rating. You don't have to give us 5 stars. Whatever you think we're worth, I'll take it. Feel free to give us a rating and or a review. That'd be much appreciated. That's on Apple Podcasts. And also remember to use hashtag Holy Ghost Notes on your drum videos. And we feature someone every week. It's pretty cool. Other than that, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out on social media or feel free to email us, mattandtim@theholyghostnotes.com.
Love it. Good job, man. It was great to talk to you.
You too, man.
I know it's a busy time coming up, but I look forward to the Christmas episode and 2020.
That's right. Yeah. Me too. Well, have a great Christmas show on Saturday, and good luck with your team on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Have a good one, man.
Yeah, you too. See you guys.
All right, see ya. Peace.